None of the other commandments do that. Remember, remember, remember. We human beings are bad rememberers. Would you agree with me? We human beings tend to be bad rememberers. I don't know if that's a word, but I'm going to use it. We tend to easily forget. Some of us forget more things than others, but we're really good at forgetting. The Bible history is replete with evidences of people forgetting things. Ancient Israel really was good at forgetting. For instance, they said when God gave the Ten Commandments, we will do all that God says. We will worship Him alone. And just a short period of time, they're bowing down before a golden calf. They forgot to depend on God's counsel from His prophets and sought to have a king like the other nations. They forgot what God's plan was, that they be totally unique. They forgot that. And forgetfulness continues in the New Testament. Jesus knew that His followers would tend to forget what the sacrifice of Jesus was really all about. And so He inaugurated something called the Lord's Supper. You may have heard of it. We celebrated it two Sabbaths ago, and we're really blessed. And as Jesus inaugurated this special event, His challenge to His followers were, do this in remembrance, or to remember Me. And then we have Paul giving godly advice to churches in the New Testament, the church at Galatia, at Ephesus, at Thessalonica, etc., etc., because people had begun to forget what it was like to really live the Christian life, totally sold out to God. Trouble remembering even takes place today. Shocking but true. Does anyone else have a forgetter that works really, really well? Oh, there's a couple of honest people here. Thank you, Vicky, for raising your hand. My forgetter sometimes works really well. And I would guess that before this day is even done, that all of us in this room will probably have forgotten at least one thing that we should have remembered. We have a forgetter that works really, really well. And so God, knowing our limitations and frailties as sinful human beings, gives us a reminder in the fourth commandment of a really, really important truth that He does not want us to forget. And He uses some very specific language and words in writing these words. He does it with His own finger. How many of you are old enough to remember the Etch-a-Sketch? Oh, some of you are dated as old as me or if older. And remember this Etch-a-Sketch? You would do something and it would kind of. Talk about the ultimate Etch-a-Sketch. God takes His finger and in stone inscribes words. The very language that we are going to look at today, that is impressive. Very, very impressive. And the words are, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. And what He's saying, don't forget, guys. This is super important. Remember, remember, remember. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. What does it mean to keep the Sabbath holy? What does it mean to keep the Sabbath holy? To keep something holy, I would suggest, means to be really dedicated to God. If we treat something as holy, we consecrate it to God. We say, God, this is Yours. And beyond that, we separate what we are consecrating to God from the everyday, the ordinary, and the commonplace. That is what it means to make something holy. And the very language of the fourth commandment that we're going to study today seems to scream out that the Sabbath is different than any other day of the week. It is a holy day. It is different. It is different. And so let's continue on with the fourth commandment. From verses 9 and the first part of verse 10 of Exodus 20. New King James Version, if you please. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. Now that's not too difficult to understand. 6 days, you are about your normal daily, everyday, normal day in, day out lives. But the seventh day is to be dedicated to God. It's to be different. It is not to be ordinary. It is to be extraordinary. Extraordinary. Now, as we read on, an explanation is given on making the Sabbath holy and different from the other days of the week. God says this, verse 10, last part. In it, in the Sabbath, you shall do no work. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. Now, that God would choose to mention children, servants, animals, and people who come to visit gives us an idea that God is pretty serious about making the Sabbath a day that is different than the other 6 days of the week. So the question is that I'd like to ask you, how binding, how serious is this commandment to not work on the Sabbath day? If it is to be taken literally in every circumstance, guess what? I am a Sabbath breaker. Adventist pastors are really crummy Sabbath keepers. We don't honor the commandment at all. In fact, some of you have joked with me. Pastor, you have a real cushy job. You only work 1 day a week, you lazy man you. They don't say the lazy man you. But I chuckle at that. Well, if that is true, then I am a very naughty, naughty, naughty pastor. Because not only am I a slacker working 1 day a week, but the 1 day a week that I work on is the day that I should not be working on. So I'm a bad, bad pastor. What are legitimate forms of work on the seventh day of the week? I would hope that you have validated my work as your pastor as being legit. What about healthcare professionals? It's not that people only get sick on Sunday through Friday or decide to have babies on Sunday through Friday. Are healthcare professionals legitimate in their work? Well, I think we would all agree with that. And what about those who prepare food? Well, I'll come to that in a second. I think that most workers can make Sabbath a day when they don't have to work like the rest of the week. Most of us can do that. Bill Hammers, who is not here, and those of us who know Bill, he's a member of our church, great guy. He has a carpet cleaning business. He works real hard. He has a lot of clients stacked up. They would love for him to work on Saturdays, I promise you that. Bill does not work on Sabbaths, and it's as simple as deciding not to schedule anyone on Sabbath. As simple as that. My friend Ralph Miller, and I got permission to tell you this little story, but when he was promoted to be, what was your actual title there in the yard? Manager of the plant. And he went to some meetings and became convicted on the seventh day Sabbath, and so he went to his supervisor, and even though he was the manager, he said, I can't work on Sabbaths because I have decided to be obedient to God's commandment. I know this might make life difficult for you, and if you need to let me off, I'm prepared to accept that. I'm prepared to work on Sundays, and if there is a dire emergency, I will come in. But I want to make my Sabbath a day of worship with my family. And as he tells me the story, his employer, his supervisor, looked at him and said, "We value you so much, you can have your Sabbaths off." I know Bob Werner, they would love you to drive. He drives cars all from dealerships, and they would love you to work on Saturdays too. But Bob has made that stance and said no. I've written many a letter to students who want to take an alternative testing date from a Saturday testing and have been able to help them to move that for religious reasons. It takes guts to stand up for the Sabbath. It really does. It takes guts. When the whole world is kind of the mind, well, do what feels good and what's right for you, and there are no absolutes. Do whatever. In it you shall do no work, etc., etc., etc. Now, Sabbath keeping can get out of whack. In Christ's time, it definitely did this. Do you realize that the Pharisees, you've heard of the Pharisees, they added over 3,000 Sabbath laws to the fourth commandment. 3,000. And some of these got so nitpicky that they were considered as quite a burden. You see that guy carrying, oh, the Sabbath is a heavy burden. Let me give you just two examples. You could not keep the Sabbath and spit on the Sabbath. No. Because if your spittle, that is a funny word, if your spittle hit a blade of grass, that would be irrigating and profaning the Sabbath day. So hardcore Jews were not to spit on the Sabbath. Here's another one that you'll love. Some of us will really get a kick out of it. You were not supposed to look in a mirror on the Holy Sabbath day. The reason being, you might see a gray hair and be tempted to pluck it out, which, as everyone knows, that would be harvesting and that would be working on the Sabbath. And it went on and on. 3,000 rules that the Pharisees put in addition to the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments give a principle and ask us, with the guidance of the Holy Spirit working together, to make up our mind what we should do. And when the Sabbath is made a burden, it's a very, very bad thing. It's a very, very bad thing. When I was growing up, there was always the joke about what constitutes swimming versus wading. If you got water up to your knee or below your knee, it was okay. That was wading. But get it above the knee, and that's getting pretty near into swimming. And that was not okay. But on some days when it's really hot, I know that doesn't really work here on the coast, but you know, there are people here today to just escape the heat. So God bless you, Larry and Virginia, for coming and escaping the Redding heat. As I was joking with them earlier, we go east to warm up, and they come west to cool down, and we pass on 299. What is waiting? And sometimes, quite frankly, on those hot days, we sort of tripped and fell in the water just to cool off. But one of the biggest areas of inconsistency, I think, is in the area of food service. I smile because people who would not think of eating out on Sabbath wouldn't give a second thought to enjoying the labors of someone who is slaving away in the kitchen, often a mom who has worked hard all week to cook, clean, and do all the chores in her house, or some other woman. And they wouldn't think of eating out, but they have no problem eating what someone else has worked really, really, really hard to prepare. And our food service people in this church do an incredible job. If you're sticking for lunch, you will see a demonstration of that. As we continue to read on in the fourth commandment, we see what I think is a real good reason for making the Sabbath different from the other days of the week. Exodus 20:11, New International Version. For in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Ladies and gentlemen, God did three really significant things on this seventh 24-hour period, the first week in creation. He rested. Obviously, he was pooped, just worn out from all the work of creation. Are you kidding me? He's God. He says, let there be light, and there's light. He wasn't worn out. He rested to make a point. He rested on that day. He blessed the day. He blessed the day. Now, I don't understand how blessings work because that's a God thing, but I believe in them. And he blessed the day. He blessed the day. And he made it holy. He set it aside for a holy purpose. God rested, he blessed, and he declared it as holy. I think those are three significant things. In the commandment here, this obviously takes us back to creation. This is what it says in Genesis 2, 2, and 3. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. The Sabbath is a reminder that we have a creator that spoke us into existence. The Sabbath reminds us that we have a loving God that created us. It was planned. It was a special design. The Sabbath reminds us that God rested on this seventh 24-hour period and blessed it and set it aside as being different and holy from the other 6 days of the week. The direct tie-in from creation is just too strong to even begin to miss. Now, during that during the first week of creation, we see that God continued to have 7 days followed by 7 days followed by 7 days. There's nothing in the natural world that tells us that a week should be 7 days long. Why isn't a week 10 days long? Why isn't a week 5 days long? Well, I would like to suggest that it goes back to creation. God set aside a 7 day week. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And that's the way it has gone since creation, because God set it up that way. Do you know what a metronome is? How many of you know what? Oh, yeah, some of you do. This is an old school metronome, okay? And it's obviously in action. A metronome helps musicians with rhythm. Do you know what rhythm is? Some of you don't have it. Sorry. And some of you do. I won't ask for a show of hands. Rhythm is extremely important for music. Extremely important. As one who has been a part and led many, many musician groups, rhythm is incredibly important. It's the cadence by which a song goes. And the more people that you get involved in this musical group, the more important it is to stay on rhythm. That is why drummers and bass players are incredibly important musicians for a group. They keep a band in rhythm. And I have had the privilege of working with some extraordinary drummers and bassists, and they are worth their weight in gold when it comes to making music. They keep you in rhythm. If you have someone going too fast or too slow, it begins to sound like mud. Not a good thing. And when I have a group together and we're talking about the dynamics, what we want to do with a song, I often give this speech. Guys and gals, it's going to be as important to know when not to play your instrument and not to sing as when it will be to play and sing. It will be almost more important, in fact, when not to play than when to play. And you're going, what? You see, if everyone plays in a band full blast at the same time, you lose the potential that a song has to be really fantastic, because it's all at one level and it just doesn't sound good. Sometimes the guitar needs to stand out, and sometimes you got to have the keyboard doing something, and sometimes you just want a single voice, and sometimes you want harmonies, and sometimes you want a cappella, and you want no instrumentation. You just want the voices. And so on and so forth. It's almost more important in a musical group when not to play than when to play. Rhythm, rhythm, rhythm. Well, this is my metronome. It's a little more up to date than the old school metronome that you see there. Let's see if I can get things to work here. It was working earlier. And with this metronome, I think my battery. This metronome keeps a band on task. One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. And with this metronome, I can slow it down. That's 100 beats per minute. Let's try 50. That's a lot slower. Now, I'd like to suggest that what the Sabbath is doing for us is to give us a rhythm of rest. A rhythm of rest. And it goes something like this. I'll turn this off. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work and live your normal lives. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. One, two, three, four, five, six, Friday, seven. Rhythm of rest. And God knew that we needed rhythm in our life. And we needed a rhythm of rest, because if we just went one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, one, we wouldn't have a break. And we'd be missing out on the tremendous blessing that the Sabbath has for us. Now, we've only scratched the surface in talking about the meaning of the Sabbath. But it should be obvious to us all as we've read Scripture that the seventh-day Sabbath is obviously, compellingly, something very important to God. Again, it's the longest commandment, and he has more to say about it, and he says some very specific words to make a point. The Sabbath was given not to be a burden, but to be a special gift to our lives. Now, a little advertisement here, if you don't mind. I've been working on the next message series. I think planning ahead is always better. You always can do better. Always, always, always. You hear about these pastors on Friday night who say, well, what shall I speak about? Well, I don't know, but I'll find something. And about 10 o'clock, they finally find something. I don't think that works good at all. I think the Holy Spirit likes to work through planning and having times to pray and to marinate and all this kind of good stuff. So my personal practice is at least 3 months ahead, I start working on the next message series. We're right now in Summer of Love, a series on the Ten Commandments. We're on number 4, so we're not halfway through yet. The next series that I am kind of working on now, just doing some thinking and planning and all this kind of stuff, is going to be on, drum roll please, the Sabbath. And it's going to be called Discovering the Gift of the Sabbath. It's going to be a 7-part series on the seventh day. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at some incredible blessings that God has programmed into the Sabbath. The blessing of having a balanced life, for example. The blessing of being able to fellowship with other people on the Sabbath. And anyway, I've scouted out what I'm going to do with those 7 weeks, and I'm starting to do some research and looking up the scriptures and just starting to do that. So you want to be there for that, because I'm looking forward to learning a lot, and I think it'll be a blessing to you. What a tremendous blessing the Sabbath was intended to be. If you have not yet discovered the joys of Sabbath, I highly recommend it. It's special because it's to be different from the other days of the week. And for those who do not treat the Sabbath as different, they're getting the short end of the straw. They're getting cheated out. And that's why God says, don't work on the Sabbath. His druthers are, his wish is, I would wish that you would be in corporate worship with your church family on Sabbath. That's the way to really celebrate the Sabbath. There are blessings that God has given us. And when we keep the Sabbath in accordance to the fourth commandment, we demonstrate our love toward God, because we treat as holy something that He has rested on, blessed, and set aside for a holy purpose. I don't know of anyone who would not want to be blessed as a believer. There is a blessing that God has made available on the Sabbath. And as I pray, I'm going to ask God to bless each and every one of you who are here on this Sabbath, looking to Him for direction and worshiping together. Let's pray. Loving Father, thank You so much for the Sabbath. Sabbath is so much a part of who You are that the book of Isaiah ends by saying, from one Sabbath to another in heaven, we're going to be doing this. Seems like the whole world, almost the whole world, is confused on this day of worship. This seventh 24-hour period that You rested on, that You set aside as holy, and that You blessed. Lord, I ask Your blessings on each of these Sabbath keepers today. Lord, teach us what it means to depend on You and to keep the Sabbath holy. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.